Baby, greatest day of your life, Thursday, May 21st, 2020, baby, right here on 1520 WCHE. Greatest hour radio coming at you hot. Greatest hour radio. What are you talking about, Hayford? I'm talking about the greatest hour of radio. When you're talking inspiration, motivation, positivity, lighting up the darkness, and shedding away all this fear, uncertainty, and other garbage that's out there. We're getting at it today. We're swinging for the freaking fences, just like we do every single week at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1520 WCHE, Wango Charlie Hayford. Excellent. Yo, I got to tell you, fam, it's so good to be here with you for this next hour. And I got two problems, two. First problem is, I don't even know if it's a problem. Maybe it's a, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, but I have zero chill. There is no off. Like when I'm getting ready for this show, like I'm so hyped. Like I literally got lightheaded about 5 minutes before I called into the station because I take this like a freaking rock concert, like so serious. I take this responsibility so seriously, and I don't ever take it for granted because, hey, this could be my last hour of radio ever. I could not be here next week, tomorrow, tonight. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I always encourage all of us on this program, on my podcast, wherever I do, to go all out now, to live it now, to do it now. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next hour. My second problem is I don't need an hour show. I need like a weekend seminar with everybody because I have so much that I want to talk about and get in that all leans in towards the positive. Most places aren't doing that. I turn on CNN just for literally for a gag, for like, you know, just like, oh, let me see what the terrible news is now. LOL. And I turn it on and I see the lady giving all the terrible news with the little smirk on her lips and the gleam in her evil little eye on CNN, just giving more horrible news. I'm like, you know what? Screw that noise. We're going the opposite hard. We're running at it. So, man, this entire show today. I'm going to tell you what it's about, but I want to ask you something first. Do you feel uninspired? Do you feel lost? Do you feel kind of aimless and uncertain right now? If you said yes to any of those, that's what this hour is. This hour is about being on purpose. This hour is about living on purpose. This hour is going to be psychological. It's going to be pragmatical. It's going to be literal. And it's all going to be about being on purpose. Whether you're already on purpose, it's going to be leveling up to the next level. If you're in the rut, if you're blowing around like leaves in the wind, this is going to be about getting you back on track. And if you've never been on track, this is going to teach you how. That's what this next hour is. So if that interests you, get your popcorn ready. Get up, Army, because I'm swinging hard. Now, first of all, before we get into stuff, I just want to connect with you. So if you're out there on social media, so am I. Let's do it. Let's hook it up. I'm wherever you are, man. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. I said it before, my Twitter game is so weak. Like I tweet. To myself, I think. I don't know. But forget Twitter. Do this. Go out to my website, markhayford.com. It's Mark with a C. can on Amazon. You can get both of my number one books out at markhafer.com. We also got live interviews. We got photos, videos, all kinds of stuff that's out there. And if you're into audiobooks, you can also pick up Get Up. That was my first number one book. It's out there on Audible. That was an experience making that. I'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks. And for all my podcasters, who listens to podcasts? Raise your hand. You. I see you. You listen to podcasts. So I'm out there on SoundCloud. You can download the app. You can go to SoundCloud.com, and you can simply follow the Get Up podcast every single day, like clockwork. 5 a.m., the latest, a brand new podcast drops. That's raw. That's drinking out of the fire hose. That is unapologetically just telling it like it is, man. And that follows my second number one book, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. So if you feel you need that, a little bit of pick-me-up, a little something to start your day, you can go out there, click follow. You can listen to any of them anytime. There's over 300. There'll be another one dropping tomorrow morning. And once we connect, friends, out on Facebook and Instagram, especially every night while we're doing this timeout quarantine and whole thing, yo, I'm doing a live. That's interactive. You can get in on the action. And I can't get to all the comments. I try the best that I can. We're running two different platforms, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a lot of access here. And I want to connect with you. I think they talk about social distancing. They're wrong. We're physically distancing. We have opportunities now to connect socially more than ever. So let's change our language because our words are powerful. Well, let's think about what we're saying. Now, I'm already, woo, I'm covered in sweat already. Let's go. You know, Mark Twain said the two greatest days of your life are the day that you were born and the day that you find out why. Ooh, I love that. Two greatest days of your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why. You know, I remember being, not a kid, but, you know, young adult. I graduated high school, and it was in that weird time. I tried a year of college, and I was in between college and the military. I didn't yet go into the military, and I didn't know I was going to yet. And I just did a year of college, and it wasn't built for it. It wasn't for me. It wasn't going to be serving me in my future. I wasn't there in the headspace. Would have wasted time and money. And I remember just getting into a rut. Just getting into a rut as a young person. And this is very timely, I should say. I think it is. We have a lot of our seniors, our college seniors, our high school seniors, right? They're not having what all of us got to experience, and that sucks. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But right after that part of my life, I remember getting into this rut. Really didn't know where, I didn't know what, I didn't know how, didn't know what I was going to do, didn't know what I wanted to do necessarily. Didn't really understand. I didn't have a mentor. There wasn't as so much access to information. There wasn't an internet. This wasn't 57 years ago, people, okay? Close, but it wasn't. You know, it was just, you kind of knew what you knew, and that's what you knew. And if you didn't have access to info, or if you didn't know how or where to seek it out, or that it even was there in the first place, well, kind of what you got. And I remember just getting into this rut where, you know, it could be a Tuesday night, and my uncle would go to work at the night shift, and we lived in a very small home, and I would go up into his little living room area. I'm to sleep on the couch because I shared a room with my brother that's probably about the size of your shower. Nah, I'm exaggerating, but it probably is the size of your bathroom, two beds in there. So I would go sleep on his couch, and I would watch the late show, and I would watch the late, late show. And then if you guys remember MTV, I'd put that on for a little bit. And before I know, it's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, and I just got into this rut. Going into the military at that time was probably one of the best things that could have happened to me. But I'll tell you, and you hear this a lot, right? I'm about to talk like your parents right now, okay? If I knew now what I knew then, would have been a different ballgame. I don't have regrets, but I just would have been able to expedite things better, quicker, and faster, right? And in the end, and I'm going to say present time right now. I want to speak some faith. I want to speak some hope. I want to speak some life. It turns out good. You find your way. You shape it out. You work it out. But I don't think it's ever finished. I don't think we're ever done. I think we're constantly in new levels of life and new seasons of life, and we're constantly a work in progress. And I don't think anybody ever says that. We just kind of assume it. Well, yeah, we know. But do we know? Because I talk to all different people of ages, different economic status, the titles they do and don't have, the experiences they didn't have. And everybody always seems to kind of just be uncertain. I have a special, that's what I'm talking about. I don't apologize for being extra. I can't. Because then I'd be lying to you and I'd be lying to myself, which is even worse. Because at the end of the day, I got to look at me, right? So look, the ship sailed here. So I'm just going into the waters and we're doing it. And I have a special message specifically to those in the class of 2020. Now, this could apply for anybody, though, no matter what stage of life you're in. There's this old comedian / writer. I'm talking way back. His name is R.E. Shea, and he has a great quote. Depend on the rabbit's foot, if you will, but remember, it didn't work for the rabbit. That sucks for the rabbit, huh? Depend on the rabbit's foot, if you will, but remember, it didn't work for the rabbit. Yeah, so that whole thing about being lucky, right? I feel like everybody wants to just get lucky, right? Nobody wants to work for it. Nobody wants to earn. Nobody, you know, if I could just hit the lottery, I just want the lottery. Oh, if I just win the lottery, it'll, you know, most people that win the lottery wind up going broke within a few years. That's legit. Because they didn't fix the problem or the root. They just put a Band-Aid over it. And the issue was still there. But everybody wants to get lucky, right? And everybody wants to be free. And I feel like that's a big contingency today, what's going on. That's why so many people are getting up in arms. And you know, a lot of people are feeling that their freedoms are being taken away. We want to be lucky. We want to be free. We want stuff for free. A lot of people do. And it sounds refreshing, doesn't it? But think about it. Like, who doesn't want to be lucky? Right? Who doesn't want to be free? So I'm gonna go the other way. So if you have a kid, or if you are one of the young adults out there that are graduating, I want to give a perspective that you're probably haven't been told this before, and you probably don't have too many people leaning into this, telling you that they hope that you have it a little tough. And I'm not trying to lose friends. I did last week because I was just raw again, and I'm going here now. But somebody needs to say it, and I'm going to say it. I subscribe to this theory that the harder I work, the quote-unquote luckier I get. There are seriously like no overnight success stories. And the younger you are, the more time you have. I feel like so many young people freak out about their futures when they don't need to. You could screw up. You could be 35 and reinvent yourself. I didn't get into professional wrestling until I was 36. I didn't write my first book till 46. I started DJing when I was 80. I'm kidding. I was in my late 20s, but there's no overnight success stories. I'm personally not a big fan. Personal. She has a savage fan base. Rachel Hollis. And I saw her live in Las Vegas a couple years ago. And she talked about how, you know, I respect her game. I really do. The hustle she's got. And she talks about how you know, I forget which one, but someone said to her, wow, congratulations, that's so great on your first book. It did so well. She's like, my ninth book. See what I mean? Like, forget the other eight. We don't even care. We don't even know you did eight previous, but this one. And all of a sudden she's an overnight success. No. There's no overnight success stories. You hear the fame, you see the success, but you didn't witness the backstory. Right? You don't see the years of dreams and work and rejection and tears and the tenacity of fighting for it all. We just see these people who get lucky, right? So if you're hearing my voice right now, I hope you get lucky. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying here. Because I hope you are lucky enough to never be privileged and never have things handed to you, especially early on. I hope that you have the opportunity to have some tough times in your life where you have discomfort, when you were picked last, when you were ignored, when you were laughed at. And I know there's people that are losing their freaking minds right now because how's he saying this? You shouldn't be saying things like this. But I am. I hope you get so lucky that you have things handed to you so you don't become soft and comfortable and ineffective. I hope you get to earn your way onto the field. I hope you get that starting role. I hope you fight for that position and you get that raise because you deserve it, not because you knew somebody that could have you leapfrog the line in front of you. Yeah, lucky's nice, but I hope you get so lucky that you know what desperation can feel like. That's when you know you're alive. And the electrifying, saving gratitude when you make it through the other side because you had no other option and you had to. I hope for a while you have to take a back seat. You have to ride the bench. You have to chase after what you want. And I hope for your sake, you're lucky enough to experience this. What I'm talking about, real life, right here, not the ninth place participation trophy. So you can learn and know what it will require for you. I said require for you to dig so deep so that you can fight your way off that bench and fight your way out of the back seat. You know, the same people are out there who want to get lucky are also the ones who want things for free. Same people that just want to hit the lotteries want things for free. And I want to remind you, we're going to take a break in a minute or two. But before we do that, I want to remind you of the things that are free to you right now. And it doesn't matter. I don't care how much skill, how much talent you have. Anybody can utilize these right now. Go ahead, make a list. Effort. It's free. A little effort goes a long way because your actions are stronger than your words. You can put effort into yourself, your goal, your dream right now, and it will not cost you a dime. It's not going to cost you a dime, but the payoff is going to be huge. Preparation is free. You can prepare as much as you do or don't want. But just know this, the ones who put in the effort for preparing, the really prepared ones, they seem to win, don't they? They prepared without a cost. You hear my voice right now? That's passion. You will not get charged for passion. Listen to me. You will only get rewarded for it. And you will absolutely get noticed because of it. And it won't cost you anything. Now, three people, lucky people, if you want to get really lucky, your energy is required. And the funny thing about energy is that it's going to get low. But the good news is that you have a never-ending supply, and it's going to recharge, and it's going to build itself back up, and you can never run out. So your energy, it's endless, and it's free for you to use anytime that you want. And I did a whole show on this before. This is a whole chapter in my next upcoming book, Attitude. Your attitude is priceless. It's always complimentary. It's going to open doors. The better the attitude, the more charmed your life is going to be. I'm dead serious about that. And that's exactly why I dedicate a whole chapter to it in my third book that's coming out. You also realize that you have been, are, and will be judged by others. That judge-free zone is a farce. It doesn't exist. You're in it. They can tell you how much you weigh, how fast you can run, how much money you have, how smart you are, how stupid you are, how ugly you are, how pretty you are. But one day you're going to realize something else, too. Those people, all of those ones out there who judge you, you're going to learn that they'll never be able to measure your heart because only you can do that. So I'm here to encourage you and tell you don't give up because I have hope for you. My hope is that you're wise enough to not squander these things that are free to you. We got too many people sitting around bored and blah, 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 blah. We got all these free attributes. And I hope you realize and you really utilize your effort, your preparation. And I hope you take that energy and passion and squeeze every ounce of it. And I hope that you use that attitude and it benefits you and creates some great things in your life. No matter how old you are, you can start today. And most of all, I hope you never do give up on those things that are important to you. And I hope you receive that amazing gift of having to earn your way. The feeling of knowing that you've truly accomplished something because of your sweat equity? Bro, priceless. Talking to you. The greatest edge of all that can never be taken away from you is the knowledge that you used everything available to you and you won. You won with those things. So go win with all those free tools that are available to you. So one day they're going to be talking about you. And how amazing is it going to be when people are talking about you because of the fact that you just always seem to get so lucky? Yes, please. I'm over. We got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk about how to not just stay on track, but excel. You hear what I said? I'm not talking Microsoft. I'm talking how you can excel in these times, times like these, where it's easy to lose yourself. I'm Mark Hayford. This is the Get Up Power Hour, and you're listening to 1520 WCHE. Wango, Charlie, Hayford, excellent. This is the Get Up Power Hour, baby. It's your boy, Mark Hayford, coming at you like Mr. Miyagi, telling you to wax on. Woo! Wax off. Let's go. My phone's blowing up. People saying the show's hot today. I said every day. I didn't show up to be lame. I got to play out for you guys. Let's go. We ain't got much time. Oh, man. I'm just giving the real deal, man. I'm doing the non-filtered, real talk version of the Get Up Power Hour right here. Because it's got to be said, man, we're too soft. 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 I got a statement, and I got a question. Statement is, you are going to die. Sucks, right? Whoa, get the kids out of the room. No. Bring them back. You're going to die, and so am I. And the question is this, what if you knew when? What if you knew when? I just got chills. Are you living different? Are you doing different things? Are you playing all out now? Because one day there's not more time. But we want to be comfortable. We want to waste our time with worrying. About what? It is May 21st, 2020. Do you know what I worried about May 21st, 1990? I don't know. May 21st, 2019? Can't remember. May 21st, 1984? I don't know. Who cares? Stop wasting your time. We just want to be comfortable. We just want someone to tell us it's all right. I'm telling you it's all right. And I'm telling you, we're wasting our time. I mean, we spend our time doing stupid crap. Okay. I'm gonna give you some stats and things here, okay? First of all, I saw this comedian one time, and he was talking. This is a great quote. It was a joke, but it's kind of like, oh. He said, I could have been a doctor, but there were too many shows on TV. I could have been a doctor, but there were too many shows on TV. I rest my case. You know, before we got into all this craziness, a typical American household spends a national average of 5 hours a day watching television. 5 hours a day watching television. We're already busy in society and crazy the way we roll, right? My dad, when he was alive, he used to say, people play games or people make money. Okay, now back then he was right. And even though this still holds true to some degree today, there's this exploding gaming industry that some people actually make money for playing games. Matter of fact, they completely do. The gaming industry has taken over. Just a couple years ago, I think it was 2017. Here comes the math, right? Survey shows the number one gaming country in the world is Japan. Number two is Korea. Number three is the USA. United Kingdom's four. Australia's five. And a shout out to my Canadian gamers who just missed the top five. Listed at number six, eh? Boot number six. Now, in 2018, the estimate projected, this is insane, the entire globe is going to rack up approximately $11 billion. I know I'm doing a radio show from my house on an iPhone, but I said billion with a B, people, as in Buck Brahma Bull, Jeff Bezos, okay, billion. The entire globe's going to rack up $11 billion in just 1 year alone. What? Games. Billions. Let that sink in. We got people who can't eat. There's homeless in every single country around the world. There's constant financial stress and worry. Even before this pandemic, it's around every corner in society. And we're spending billions of dollars on games. It is pretty freaking insane when you actually stop and take this all in. The question will be, why? Why are we spending billions of dollars on games? Okay, for starters, here's what I think, right? The augmented reality, like esports, right? They become state of the art, first of all. We know this. Clearly a far cry from freaking Pong, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, or your crappy 1970s Commodore 64. Remember that? Old heads talking to you. Oh, stop it. I personally got a soft spot in my heart for Nintendo's early 1990s Tecmo Bowl, baby. You put that up against the latest Madden game. We're like, now the graphics are all HD and virtual seems like reality, and you put different players in different teams. It's a sorry comparison, right? How many of you parents out there lost a son or sons or ladies? You lost your man in the spring of 2018. Here we go. Ready? To Fortnite. Right? Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, that I remember. You're smiling, nodding. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you might even still play that are listening. I personally know that the father and son pairings game together. So is this new bonding? Is this the same as throwing a ball in the yard? Is it detrimental? Is it healthy? Is it a sign of the times? Like, I don't know. Time will tell. I grew up in the early generations of gaming as a kid. And I loved it. as adult, it's so easy to get sucked into it. We got grown men acting like boys who are sucked into gaming. I know that hurt. Ooh. Right, man. You got grown men acting like boys sucked into gaming. We're talking people with corporate backgrounds, professional athletes who have admittingly, I've had conversations, lost days, like plural, since the evolution of the virtual world. You may be waving your finger and shaking your head at these people that you might think are, you deem them to be immature, time-wasting gamers, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever picked up your cell phone, played a quick round of solitaire or Candy Crush? Okay, because, my friend, you're gaming. You're just on a different platform. You're not like all the Xboxers in the world. So don't get me wrong, okay? There's nothing terrible about blowing off some steam and disconnecting a little downtime for some, especially today, right? Some needed mental health. We all need it. We all done it. But when 15 minutes turns into 4 hours or an entire weekend, we may need a support group. So let's just bring up the point here that, I'm not trying to be Captain Obvious, but maybe somebody needs to say it. Let's recognize that this is here to stay. Check this out, right? One weekend, last summer, spring, I don't know, I was doing a signing in this independent bookstore for one of my books, both my books. And as each genre has its fan base, I was talking to the owner, and I asked her what she thought was the biggest trend that she recognized in book sales. And, like, she didn't even have to think about it. Like, she went, oh, raised her eyebrows, you know, nodding her head the whole thing. She continues that hesitation. She says, unequivocally, without question, it's absolutely fiction. Then everything else competes and comes in after. Fiction. Fiction. Fake. Games. Television. Sports. We all want a desperate escape from reality. I'm not shaming it, man. It's no wonder why either, right? The garbage that's force-fed to us with this negativity funnel is just too much. The COVID-19, the freaking murder hornets, right? Republican, Democrat, CNN, world's coming to an end, chemtrails, you know, everything. They got us so divided and fighting on everything, religion, politics, hashtag me too. What lives matter the most? Should you stand for the national anthem? Should you kneel for the national anthem? The water's bad. The air's bad. Chocolate could cure cancer, but it's going to make you fat. Oh, researchers found, stop. Right? Stop. Let me put on American Idol. Because the only drama that you're going to get there is when you disagree with the judge, right? Seriously, you're not the American Idol. My daughter Jada does such a great British accent. No, love, you do. Right. The amount of time that we spend on watching TV, surfing the web, using an app, according to this is a couple years ago now. So again, I'm sure it went up, right? Study was done by Nielsen in 2016. This is staggering. It says Americans spend about 10 hours and 30 minutes doing all of these: gaming, radio, phone, scrolling, TV. 10.5 hours a day. We're wasting our lives, man. We're not living our lives, just running. Look, I got the reading and writing thing down pretty good. Arithmetic, not so much, but let me take a stab at this, okay? And let's do a little math. We're putting in a solid 10.5 hours of screwing off every single day. I don't know, don't most people usually work for what, 8 more? Not even a commute, right? What's that leave? 6 hours for sleep when you should really get 8? So welcome to the new reality. Your new reality is called escape. Now this is really, I'm not going to lose it, but this is really convenient, right? It's almost as if our lives are now designed to run away from things rather than running after your goals and achieving them, going for it, creating. So somehow, some way, we're all escaping or trying like mad to just shut everything out and escape our reality. Sounds like we're doing a great job of it too. It also sounds like we need to be careful because we're getting what we asked for. More filler equals less time to become a better you. You go for the honey, you're going to get stung by the bees, right? Look, I said at the top of this show, this entire program today is about being on purpose. So let's get on passion. Let's get on purpose, and let's talk about finding your passion and doing the things that you want to do, that you need to do to get better. Is it science? Is it music? Do you want to be in shape? Because in this new sub-reality that we're all running away to, have you ever stopped and maybe dreamed of starting your own business with something you actually like to do? Steve Jobs, you know, one of the most successful men of all time, kind of said that's the right way to go. Unlike all the morons who I just completely butt hurt last week, who said be realistic and don't go for your goals. Steve Jobs said stay foolish. I don't know who that guy was, but I know Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs said stay foolish and follow your passion. It's easier to do things you like versus things you don't like. Why have a life of being miserable? You ever wanted to start a business? Doing things you like. You can't do it when you're watching Family Feud for 5 hours a night. Let's do this, okay? I'm going to take a break in a second, but I'm going to drop some math. And not my strong suit, but here we go. So let's just suppose you give yourself weekends off. What I'm about to say, you don't even do it on weekends because you deserve it, right? You need some downtime. So game away. Binge watch that outdated season 4 of whatever, but during the week, dedicate 1 hour, make it happen, carve it out, find 1 hour a night, just 1 hour, phone away, television off, dig into that thing, that passion that you always wanted to explore or that you need time to work at. The end of the week, you will not only have started to break chains of this running away slavery type thing, but you've dedicated 5 hours that week to your new goal. Holy cow, right? That's 5 more hours than you ever have. Now we're making progress. You keep this up, you do it for a month. What? You've accumulated 20 hours of pouring into your most important asset. You! 20 hours a month. By simply finding 1 hour a night. You gotta love the process of your own growth and evolution. And you gotta expect it to not be instantaneous in this microwave mentality society. Crockpot that stuff. At the end of a year, if you kept that up, you'll have gained the time you poured into your craft. What? Blah, 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 about like a week and a half. A straight week and a half, no sleeping, week and a half of doing that extra thing. Talking 24 hours worth of week and a half. Not impressed? Have you ever seen somebody that went away to like a weekend retreat or a seminar to learn or grow at something? You'll multiply that times 4. So there's hope. There's the math. Those are the facts. Those are the statistics. Stop clicking, scrolling, gaming, wasting. Keep your head up. Keep your feet moving. Don't give up. You just got to get moving. Let's keep working forward. We're plowing through this. I'm taking a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to say something I think you really need to hear. Oh, can't stop, won't stop. 1520 WCHE. I'm Mark Hayford's Get a Power Hour. Be back in 60 seconds. We'll be right back. Yeah. I know. We're back. We're hot. We're not stopping here, man. This is the Get Up Power Hour. I'm telling you, every Thursday, we got real talk. We are lighting up the darkness. We're dropping it like it's hot, because it is. That's what I'm talking about. This entire hour is about being on purpose, about breaking through, about how to win. Now, my third book, Light Up the Darkness, will be dropping summer of 2020. But I do have two number one books, and I don't say that to impress you. I say it so you understand that there's a lot of people who found a lot of value because they went number one in Amazon's self-help category. So the first one, the one that kicked everything off, the podcast, the radio show, the speaking events, the, you know, the all the other books, and it's Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life. It's a simple book. It's less than 150 pages. I was mortified when I got the first copy. I was like, oh, no, it's too small. My wife's like, no, this, you want a book that size. Nobody wants a giant novel. Nobody's got time to read it. It's an easy read. It's quick, powerful. I said, okay. My wife's always right. Right, honey? Right. So I can't think of a better way than to last few minutes of this program to go into this book and this one particular chapter. And I'm not going to read things word for word, but if you got the book at home and you want to kind of follow along here and just kind of cherry pick a little bit, this is the third chapter of this book, Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, which went number one, by the way, in 4 hours from its release. If you haven't checked it out yet, you can get the Audible audio version on Audible. You can go to Amazon. You can go to markhafer.com. You can pick that one up. You're bored. You shouldn't be bored today. You should not be bored. There is too much life to live instead of you being bored right now, especially right now in this day and age. If it was 1865 and you're in quarantine, maybe you should be bored. Today, 2020? No, please. You've got Wi-Fi, baby. You got life to live. Let me jump into chapter 3, and I think this is a huge ingredient. And for all the young heads out there listening, I really want you to pay attention. And this one's going to ruffle some feathers. This one definitely had people angry at me. But again, I didn't come here to waste your time. I came here to speak the truth. And chapter 3 is called Self-Starting. I write, it is imperative to self-start. Understand this. It is one of your most important attributes that you need to have in your arsenal if you're looking to be successful in any format. Self-starting is absolutely crucial. You can train yourself to be a self-starter. Then 50% of the battle is won, and you can train yourself. Again, I'm just attempting to be clear on this. I'm not referring to some cheerleading, rah-rah encouragement that's going to come and go. This isn't about psyching yourself up with a good feeling that's going to be fleeting, or gearing up for another potentially failing New Year's resolution that goes away in 10 days. This is about you navigating yourself through a noisy world that's littered with constant distractions. They range from what? Heavy responsibilities to self-indulging creature comforts. We just talked about it. And still being able to have the discipline to focus and show up on purpose. On purpose is critical. It's an art. And as the world gets busier and faster, the art is dying. So let's step into art class together. I drop a little quote in here. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Peter Drucker. And this little portion of the chapter is called Sleepwalking versus Being Proactive. I talk about how early in my life, I was great at sleepwalking. And many people do. Self-starting was nowhere, anywhere near being close on my radar. And I did what so many people do today, only I did it better. I was a world-class sleepwalker, baby. Most people you and I know, they sleepwalk. They sleepwalk through their entire lives. They wait for permission. They're looking for direction. They're told what to do. They obey. They're told what they're worth. They accept. They're okay with all of it. I'm not suggesting anarchy or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that most people are going to go with the flow. And we've been taught that it's good to to go with the flow. You know, you just roll with it. And we've been taught wrong because it's a lie. Calling an audible, guys, when life throws you a curveball, that's different. Improvising when everything doesn't go as planned, another story. So unless you're a Marine and you're taught to improvise, adapt, and overcome, you're on stage, some musician, you know, tearing it up in a jam band, I believe going with the flow is not only an attitude that will not do you favors, I believe it's dangerous. That comfortable mindset falls right in line with that. Comfortable doesn't grow. Comfortable doesn't achieve. Comfortable never wins. The upper echelon people don't do that. I was a world-class sleepwalker. And when sleepwalking, I'd be fantastic at reacting. I would almost always be reactive. It was far in between when the times when I would be proactive. That's what the pros do. They act first, purposely, proactive. What a night and day difference between someone who shows up to show up versus someone who shows up on purpose. On purpose doesn't go with the flow. Proactive does not sleepwalk. Most of us glaze over or ignore the fact that being on purpose is a choice. It is. On purpose is a choice. So this next part, I got to take a sip here. We don't live in filters here. This next part that I wrote, it gets very uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it. I want you to take inventory of most people you personally know. Who's winning? Who's losing? Because we have a certain group of people in our lives that are losers. That's not everybody. It's a small group. Complaining's a lifestyle. Unhappy's a hobby. Drama. Cup's always half empty, if there's even a cup at all. Oh, did you look at that? Somebody stole their cup. And they'll tell you all about it on their Facebook wall, right? Then you got the average group. The average it's the biggest group, mostly everybody, who's just comfortable, autopilot. Life is fine. Don't have any unrealistic goal or dream. No zeal or ambition. Autopilot. Got the visual? Okay. So we got the smaller loser category, with the people you should very much spend limited time with, if at all. Then you got the average tier. Now let me turn your attention to the group that most likely has the least amount of members, the winners. And most, you know, that whole thing that people love a winner, lie. Total lie. People don't love a winner. People wind up getting resentful at winners. You know, we're winners, and I'm not a fan, but I respect the game. The New England Patriots. Now, they're moving in different directions now, but when you had Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, the head coach, they're winners. What, six Super Bowls? No, it's about acting and not waiting. Bruce Lee said, to hell with circumstances, I create opportunities. For all those years that they won Super Bowls, did you think that Patriots owner Bob Kraft just kind of sort of created, if not the greatest dynasty of all time in the history of all professional sports? Think he was sleepwalking? Do you think Coach Belichick just kind of like showed up and rolled with it? You think Brady like kind of moseyed in from the offseason with a farmer's tan, just kind of like, you know, decided to wing it? Or did they show up on purpose, like laser beam focused, setting the pace as leaders of the team and the league, raising the bar, expectations for not just themselves, but the entire supporting cast? That's winners, man. That's being a winner. Who are the winners in your life? Who are the losers? Who's that? Not the losers. Who are the winners? Who's in that elect group of people that you know who just seem to win? They're always leading the pack, right? They radiate success. Good fortune always shines on them. They're always winning. Picture them. Good. Do you hate them? Like, I hope you don't resent them for winning. Because if you do, do they actually deserve that? Resentment? Because maybe we can like switch perspective and start to appreciate them for their victories and learn from them, from their winning techniques. I 100% guarantee that you can step back and look at most, if not of all the winners in your life, and you can bet safely on the fact that they are self-starters. They're not waiting. They're not hoping. They're not winging it. Yo, they show up on purpose. They have an agenda. They're early. They're prepared. They're motivated. It's a mindset. It's a winning mindset. All of that is words like prepared, motivated, purposeful. They're not just words. They're real things. Those attributes are the foundation of what champions are made of and dynasties are founded upon. So those winners, the ones you personally know, they didn't just wake up that morning and decide then that they're going to dominate everything in their path. That was on their mind the night before, all last week, last month. Put away that instinctive human resentment and appreciate their effort. It's a lifestyle. That old saying, how you do anything is how you do everything. I love that. You ever notice how the winners are always productive? I didn't say busy. I said productive. We're very busy these days. Society's making us busy, but very few are productive, and there's a difference. There's a big difference between being busy catching up with the latest episode of Dancing with the Freaking Stars versus being productive. How about, you know, this old saying, if you want something done, you give it to a busy person? That's true. But winners are always busy being productive. They're never bored. If you want to be a winner, you can't be bored. You shouldn't have time for it. Leave that for the half empties that you know in the loser bracket. Ouch. If you're bored, go volunteer. Somebody out here needs your help. We got hungry. We got homeless. We got dying and hurting children, veterans, lonely elderly. They'd love to connect with you on your downtime. Hope that grabbed your attention. If you want to win, you've got to be a self-starter. You must be a self-starter. I'm going to wrap this up. And, you know, every day I do my podcast on SoundCloud. And since I think it's day 67 tonight of the Get Up live stream on Facebook and Instagram, which I invite you to join me on. And my go-to is my second thought of the day, number one book, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. And what's crazy to me is I wrote this book a couple years ago before everything's going on, and it's creepy. It's seriously, I get so many people that reach out to me that are like, I needed to hear that today or whatever. How did you know I was going through this? Well, I didn't, but I believe you get what you need when you need it, right? Here's what it is for May 21st. May 21st reads as such. Feeling overwhelmed? Don't look at the whole thing. Take just one step today. Friends, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And despite all the stuff, all the noise, all the outside world and what's going on out there and what you're being told, I want you to feel good about you. I want you to feel good about your progress. I want you to feel good about the life that you're living, and I want you to realize that it's never too late to start fresh, to start over. You're going to get knocked down. That's why I wrote Get Up. So get back up. Get in the fight. We need you out here. And it's important because whether you realize it or not, you play a big part in this, and we need your energy, your gifts, your talents, because you mean something. You're worth something. You're worthy. You're special. Let's not waste that. We get one life. Let's make the most of it. I might need a nap after this one. Tough love. Times 100. That's what we're doing here. Hey, every single Thursday, right here on 1520 WCHE, it's the Get Up Power Hour. I hope today served you well. I hope you heard something you needed to hear. And we'll be back next week. Check out my daily podcast on SoundCloud. Check out markhafer.com. connect with me on all of your social media platforms. Just remember, guys, I'm always in your corner. It's Mark Hayford.